The book of Ephesians, the third chapter. We are continuing our study tonight in this book of the Lord's Word. The subject matter, as I've dealt with over the last couple of weeks from this portion, has to do with Paul's intercession for the Ephesian people. It has to do with prayer. And you will already have noticed the theme of our hymns that we've been singing tonight has to do with intercession and prayer. And so I would ask you to follow along with me as I read from verse number 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let's bow, please, in prayer, asking for the help of the Lord as we come now to His Word. Blessed Heavenly Father, as we come now to the closing moments of this meeting, of the service, and soon the Lord's Day, we would pray to our blessed Lord Jesus, stand among us in all Thy risen power. Lord, come, we pray, and reveal the things of the Lord to us. We pray, blessed Spirit of God, open our understanding. For Lord, we have to confess we're very often like those on the road to Emmaus. Our hearts are closed. Our eyes are dim. We do not understand the things of the Lord. And we need to have the leading of God's Spirit and the help of our Redeemer to understand, to put these things in perspective, and to have them written on our hearts, that we might be edified and built up in our most holy faith, that we will, Lord, be enabled to mix the Word of God with faith, that we will grow thereby. Lord, deliver us from carnality, deliver us from worldly thinking. Oh God, I pray that our thought processes would be governed and overseen and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, I pray, for my coldness and hardness of heart. And I ask that this evening we would come to see something of the wonder of this portion of the Scripture. Lord, help me, for my strength is very weak. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight, that unction from heaven, helping me to speak as I ought to speak. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come with power upon everyone who hears the Word this evening. Lord, take every distracting thought away. Take every silly and foolish notion away. Take tiredness away. Let there be no sleepers in the congregation tonight. I pray that we'll be empowered to listen eagerly to the things of God. Father, come and help us tonight, we pray. Draw near. Lord, if we are not a praying people, and we are not a people who know our God, if we're not a praying congregation, we will not see great things done for the Master. Help us to know what it is to stand still and to see and to know, to hear the going in the tops of the mulberry bushes, the trees, the going of God. Hear us, Lord, and help us in this most urgent hour. We pray for our outreach. We ask, Lord, for the preparing of the hearts of those who will receive the word. We ask that we might be those who pray earnestly for our own spiritual advancement, that we'll be revived by the Spirit of God. And, O Father, we would be much on our knees for the needs of our sister congregations, whether it be in Canada or the United States or in Singapore. Lord, help us to hold up one another before the throne of grace, for our God is able. And Lord, if we only understood the power of prayer, if we only tapped into touching the throne of grace, that we might know the power of the Lord in our lives. Therefore, Lord, we come as the disciples did many years ago, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to intercede at the throne of grace and to lay hold upon our God. For in so doing, we will see the mountains of opposition remove and melt away. We will see great things done for our Lord Jesus. We will see the kingdom of Satan melt away. O God, defeat all the forces of evil, we pray. We know they are very active. They are about their own master's business. But we pray that they will be hindered. We think of the evil, the false religion that is so rampant in our own city. We pray against every evil and heathen force. And, O God, we pray that there would be a raising of the gospel standard in our city and across our nation. We pray, Father, against those who hate the Lord and who hate the Word of God and who hate everything about the Lord Jesus, but they have an evil intention, an evil agenda, and they come to put forward their abominable deeds out openly, boasting in them. O God, hinder the evil, we pray, and bless that which is good and righteous and true. Father, we would even be so bold to pray, let Toronto return to that testimony of being known as Toronto the good, not Toronto the wicked, as it is today. Hear our prayers, Father, and come and answer according to thy divine and perfect will. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. I would like, please, to draw your attention tonight to the final two verses of chapter 3. The apostle said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. From the 16th verse of this third chapter down to verse 19, we have what is a comprehensive example of Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, the believers. It denotes the heart of the apostle. It speaks of what he felt, what he desired, what he wanted for that church, and what I believe every pastor wants for his people and the church of Christ, no matter what generation or age that they live in, that we might be profited in our own souls to closely examine this prayer, closely examine the scripture, and to meditate much upon its truth. Now, Paul's prayer was for their foundation and for their stability and for their maturing in the faith. He talked about them being equipped according to our Father's wealth in glory in the 16th verse, that they might be empowered on the inside or on the inner man by His Spirit, and that they would be exercised by faith, and it would be evidenced in their own love for God, a love for their brethren, and a love for prayer. And you see, if these things, as you will notice as we go through them, it all focuses and centers upon God. It's the Lord's work. It's the Father's power. It's the Spirit's power indwelling in us. It's for the honor and glory of our Redeemer, so that we would show in our Christian life, we would show the development, the growth, and ultimately the completion for which God has called and purposed in us, that we would be mirroring the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, for which we were created and we were called by God unto this so great salvation. You will notice a concentration of power in verse 16, because it says, by His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man. That which is our soul, our spirit, that which has been redeemed by the Lord's grace is termed in Scripture the inner man, as opposed to the outer man, which is the natural man. All of us possess both of those aspects of our being, but only those who are redeemed, it can be said that the inner man has been regenerated. We have been quickened by God's Spirit through the gift of faith that we have been brought to see and understand, and receiving Christ as our only Savior because of the work of God's Spirit convicting us of our sin and revealing to us that the Lord Jesus is the only way of our salvation. And it may be tonight, friend, I'm speaking to someone and you've never experienced the Lord's grace in salvation. You've never come to taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't know what it is to have God's Spirit working on the inside of you, on the inner man. Well, let me then most gently, and yet with all the earnestness that I can, compel you to come to Christ, to compel you to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus, for time is running out. You don't know how much time you have left tonight. God has blessed you with an opportunity. The Lord has granted to you tonight the occasion of this evening meeting. And friend, it may be I'm speaking to someone listening to this meeting over the internet, and you have another opportunity, hearing the gospel, to come and call upon the Lord Jesus for repentance and faith. And I would exhort you, as I stand in Christ's stead tonight, I exhort you and implore you, repent and flee unto the waiting arms of Jesus Christ. For He is waiting this night. His arms are open to graciously receive you as you will call upon Him. For at the sound of your voice, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the inner man, the regenerated man, well, that's where the Spirit of God does His operating work. The concentration of power is by His Spirit. But then, note in verse 17, the communion, because Paul prayed that they would dwell, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. I mentioned to you the last time that we dealt with this matter, that this was not a prayer for their salvation. Because the simple and evident fact is that Paul was talking to these Ephesian Christians. They were already converted. So then what is he now praying for them? That Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. Indeed, he is praying that the Lord Jesus would dwell more fully, that they would understand more of the fullness of God dwelling in them. And indeed, he brings that truth out in the next verse, the next portion of the Scripture, that they might understand the fullness of God dwelling in them. So he's praying for them to know more of the Lord in their life. That's a prayer, my believing brother and sister, that I need to pray for you and that you need to pray for me. And that you need to pray for the one sitting beside you and for every member and those who attend this congregation, that each one of us will become more enlivened, more empowered by the Spirit of God, that Christ may dwell in our hearts more fully and completely. Because if that is true in your life, you will you will know what it means to commune with the Lord. You will know what it means to face the challenges of life with greater assurance and greater victory and greater hope. And the devil will not be so able to cause you to be cast down and cast under the burden and the weight of guilt and sin. Friend, if you're walking with Christ and if the Lord is being blossoming more in your own life, then you're going to understand the fullness of this verse and what it really means to you. The Lord has saved us, but He has also reserved a place in the heavenlies for us for all eternity. We are going to dwell with God, with Christ forever. But do you know, we can dwell with Him in communion right here, right now, in the fullness, in a real way. And it's part of our sanctification. It's part of our growing in grace. This does not happen when we snap our fingers. You don't become saved one day and all of a sudden the next day you know the fullness of all there is to know about Christ dwelling in you. This is a process whereby we die daily unto ourselves that we may live unto righteousness. And it may be, my friend, that you are wrestling on this very area. You're struggling here tonight. You're struggling with some besetting sin. Something has got a hold of you, and you're finding a great difficulty shaking that away from your life. I tell you, the more that Christ dwells in you, the more that He abides in your life, you will understand the power of the gospel, the power of His Spirit, the power and the grace that He promises you to allow you to go on from strength to strength. So this then is a prayer for their dwelling or communion with the Lord to steadily progress. Stagnation is a great enemy in the life of the child of God. It is possible to live in close proximity with someone and yet to live virtually exclusive lives. And perhaps you are a Christian, but on the road for a long time. But maybe your testimony has become somewhat tarnished. It doesn't shine quite as bright as one day it did. What do you need? Why, you need to know the Savior dwelling more fully in your life. The advancement of years has maybe robbed you of the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you have allowed other things to come into your mind, your life, and you've been somewhat distracted. And you're not going on with God as once you did. And you have to admit and say, Lord, I need to be revived. I need to have the Spirit of God to stir my soul to the very depth so that I will go on with the Lord. Is that not what you want? You don't want to end your Christian life in kind of a ho-hum sort of a way, as just the status quo. That's not good enough. No, we need to go on with the Lord. So this communion that we desire, this dwelling of the Lord more fully, well, it's based on love, the love of God for us, and the love that we reciprocate to Him. So the apostle prays that we would be rooted and grounded in that love. But then he also prays in verse 18 for their comprehension to be expanded. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to grasp this truth. And I impress this to you again tonight in this message, because if you do not grasp something of the breadth of the love of Christ, to grasp the length of it and the depth of it, which I know is incomprehensible, but that's the very point. Because the more that you are consumed with this aspect of the love of God and of the greatness of Christ's love for you, then, friend, your problems and your failures and your difficulties will then pale away into insignificance the more we are consumed with this one and this great truth. And then there is the completion of love in verse 19, that we might here be filled with the fullness of God. I don't think we can properly explain this, let alone understand it. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? Well, as we dwell more with the Lord, and we desire more of His presence with us day by day, we might commune more with the Savior, that we will understand something of this truth of God's fullness dwelling in the life of the Christian, so that our countenance will radiate the presence of the Lord. And you know Moses, when he came down from the mount, his face was shining, but he did not know it. He wasn't aware of it. And he had to veil his face in front of the others. I said to you not long ago, this statement made by Duncan Campbell, he said it is the Christian's unconscious testimony that is the most effective. It is when you do not or are not trying to be what you should be. It is when others observe our lives, when we are just living the way we are living every day. Our unconscious influence is the most important thing we have. And I present this to you again tonight and say that we need to pray for that fullness in our life. And now as we come to the final two verses of this chapter, it is a most glorious summary. A summary of this instruction on prayer and of the doctrinal section of the book of Ephesians that Paul brings to a conclusion. And he applies all as a great motivation that we should call upon the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. And he wants us now, as he brings us here to this point, to focus our attention. This God that has saved you, this God that has called you before the foundation of the world, this God that we have received an inheritance from, that we have been brought now into the family of God. We are part of the building of Jehovah. We are privileged to suffer for Christ on this earth as long as we have life and health. We are challenged to take up the ministry of prayer seriously. And I say that to you tonight. This summary in chapter 3, it brings us to see the importance and the value of prayer in our lives. Does it hold that importance for you? The first thing here is the purpose of God to answer prayer. It says in the 20th verse, unto him that is able to do. Able to do. The word able is the word dunamai. You will note, perhaps if you can remember, when I shared with you some thoughts on a previous message in verse 16, where it says that we are to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The word might is from the same root dunamai, from which we get our word dynamite, is the word power. So he is saying, unto him that is able to do. Therefore, we say it is unto him that is powerful to do, or that is able and willing to do abundantly. These are the words, and this is the meaning. Call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, the Lord has always delighted in the prayers of his people. He has instructed men from the beginning of time to call upon him. And so the Lord continues tonight to exhort you by this word to see the importance of prayer, to note its value, and to realize that as we come to pray, we are moving the hand of God powerfully. Yet someone, I might hear in their mind saying, If God is sovereign and He has planned and knows the end from the beginning, He knows all things, why should we bother to pray? My friend, the answer is this, that He wants us to understand our great dependence upon Him. The Lord is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We know the Lord is eternal. He is sovereign. If He was not sovereign, He would not be God, and He knows all things. But you and I do not know all things. And therefore, we are called upon in the Scripture to lay hold upon the Lord in prayer because He wants us to know that we are dependent upon Him. And though God knows the end from the beginning, we do not fully understand these things. His sovereignty works, and our responsibility works. And we are to come together on these things, and though we don't understand where one begins and the other ends, we are commanded to pray. And the Lord wants us to obey Him. And it's part of our walk of faith to analyze that very serious question, if God is sovereign, why should we pray? The very point of faith comes to rest and say, I don't understand the answer to that fully, but I understand this. The Lord has commanded me. And therefore, the Lord has shown me ample examples in the Scripture why we should pray, and we're commanded to pray, and I therefore will obey Him. I will follow His injunction. I will follow that command. I will obey Him. There is a great confidence also that we obtain for believers in private intercession that is transferred into open answers. In other words, when you pray in your prayer closet, nobody else knows about it, and yet the Lord answers your prayer publicly and openly. And you can step back and say, the Lord has done this. He has done abundantly beyond what I have asked or thought. The Lord has been merciful to me. He has heard my prayer. He has answered my prayer. And also, believer, when a people realize that God is more willing to give than we are to ask, why, it encourages us to pray. So why should we pray? We pray because the Lord calls upon us. It is His purpose to answer the prayers of His people. And then secondly, notice please, the pleasure of God to give us more than we ask. In verse 20, it also says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Lord is not stingy. The Lord is not backwards in giving to us. He does not give grudgingly. He gives joyfully, openly, and abundantly. And Paul here runs out of words to express both the willingness and the ability of God to provide beyond the need of His people. We should be ashamed by our miserable praying and the miserable asking that we have to the Lord. We're often very bashful and we're backward in praying for things that perhaps we think are just not possible or beyond means. And I think sometimes we are loath to pray those types of prayers because, well, quite frankly, we haven't seen answers to simpler prayers that we've asked in past time. And so therefore, we don't want to ask harder things because we haven't seen answers to simpler things. But that's not what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to step out in faith unto Him. He calls us to lay hold upon the God whom we serve and to trust Him with great things. I can't help but think of the words of William Carey, who said, ask great things of God and expect great things from God. This is the heart and the life of the Christian. The word exceeding, it is a preposition which means over or beyond. Now, what's interesting is that the same word is translated above in the next phrase. So really, Paul is saying, God is able to do over and beyond, out, over, and beyond. Let's read that again, because I think it's important for us to understand the import of it. He says that now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. And he is saying that God is able, it's the same word, the same preposition is used two times, one after another. And so Paul is saying, God is able to do above, out above and beyond. And he's just run out of words. He doesn't know what else he can say. And so our translators, I think, have picked this up very well when they're trying to add superlatives. They're trying to add beyond. He is able exceeding abundantly beyond above. You can't come to the end of it. You can't explain it or express it anymore. Charles Hodge commented that God is not only unlimited in himself, but is unrestricted by our prayers or knowledge. No definite bounds, therefore, can be set to what they may expect in whom Christ dwells, and who are the objects of his infinite love. Is this the way you come to the Lord in prayer? Friend, is this the way that I come to the Lord in prayer? Oh, I know that you, like me, like most every believer, we bemoan the weakness of our praying. We bemoan the patheticness of our praying, our intercession to the Lord. But I'll tell you, as you begin to pray over this verse and pray, Lord, I need this type of praying. I want you to give me this type of praying. I don't want to spend time any longer just going through the motions, but rather to say, Lord, make this real in my own heart and life. And you pray that with me and for me, and I will pray that prayer for you. Let our intercession, believer, match the God who is able to do what this is talking about. Thirdly, and quickly now as we come to the conclusion, the power by which God works. It says in the last part of verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us. And again, Paul uses the word according to, and it's similar. It's not out of, but it is according to, which means it comes out of the abundance of the power and the working of God. So the Lord is able to meet all our needs according to his riches and power in glory by Christ Jesus. It is as a result of, or according to the richness of who the Lord Jesus is, that is the fullness that we draw from the Lord. And so he is saying again here along the same line, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? Well, it's the power we've already been talking about. It is the indwelling Spirit of God. It is the power that comes from the Lord himself. It is God who is living in us, the God who is abiding in us, and therefore, that power that we are able to draw from according to the power that works in us. And again, I have to challenge myself as I do to you, are your prayers coming before the throne of grace, fired by the Spirit of the Lord and fired by the passion and the spiritual energy of the Spirit of God? I say to you again, this does not mean praying with greater volume. This does not mean praying with a greater speed. No, that's not what this is all about. This is about being in touch with God. This is about knowing that His Spirit is working in you and through you when you are praying and interceding with Him. This is about the pouring out of our hearts unto God and communing with Him, That's what this is all about. And that's the power of God's Spirit that works in and through us in our intercession. This is what the apostle is trying to get across to these dear people. And what in every generation, every Christian needs to understand as they grow in Christ and they grow in the Lord. And then finally, in the 21st verse, here is the praise that is due to God, our Father. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Believer, the apostle here once more runs out of words. And you will see this in a moment, what I mean. He runs out of words to express the fullness of his heart. And I know that that happens to you, to some of you, at the times when you're seeking the Lord, as you're alone with Him. And in your soul, you just want to give more. In your heart, you just want to express your love for the Lord more. But you find limitation. You find stumbling words. Don't let that trouble you. Because the Spirit of God takes your stumbling words and He offers the heart crying, that intercession, and the words that you have not to give anymore. And He presents those as sanctified and cleansed before God's holy throne. It says here, we are to give with desire everlasting glory that is due unto our Savior. And we want to express that from our lives. And so the apostle says here that Jesus Christ will be, it'll be praise unto God the Father, glory unto Him in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. The word here is generations. And it's really referring to the generations of men. And so from the beginning of time until the conclusion of time when the Lord returns and all of human history is wrapped up and all of the events between these ages is what this is talking about. Throughout all ages. And then He is moving toward world without end. And this phrase, world without end, is again made up of two identical Greek words, both of them really meaning age. And so the apostle is saying age unto age, or correctly, it's age out of age. It's age beyond age. So now he's thinking in his mind, I've come to deal with the generations of men, of all humanity. And I'm coming to give praise unto my God. And I am seeing all of the generations of men. But I'm going to look beyond now. I'm lifting up my head to all the ages that I can think of that go out into the universe. And when I've come to the end of that, I will then add another out of all the ages that go beyond that again. And this and these are the time frames that he's talking about, to which our Lord and our God is to receive praise. Properly, how can we do this? We cannot upon this earth. How can we yet do it when we get to glory? We will not be able to ever properly, sufficiently, fully bring this type of glory and majesty unto the Lord. But believer, I say to you, and on the authority of this scripture, this is presented to us. Now, where do we fall into this place? Where is our life today? How much time do you have left to praise Him upon this earth? Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and then indeed bring glory to Him. And I close with a final application to any in our meeting who are not believers, because you have no idea what this is to bring glory unto God, because your life at this moment is not glorifying Him. And therefore you need to come and surrender and call upon Christ for salvation this very night. Seal that matter. Be certain you know that you are in Christ and your sins have been forgiven. Be certain tonight you know that, because then in Him you may begin to lift your heart in praise unto God and lift your soul up to Him, not only in time, but also for all eternity. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we have attempted tonight to look at this portion of Scripture. And Lord, though we fail miserably to try and properly expound issues that deal with the glory of our Lord, we know, Father, that you remember that we are but dust. And Father, thou art pleased to receive this praise from mortal tongues. And our Lord, we pray that our lives will tell and make a difference for the Master. Give us the right perspective, Lord. Help us to realize that eternity is not far away from any one of us. And it's only what is done for Christ that will last, for nothing will last of this earth beyond that. So give us grace, we pray, and help us. Give us joy in living for the Master day by day, and help us to be victorious, to know victory over the areas that so often have caused us defeat in the past. And our Father, we pray that we might know more and more and more of our Lord as we go on this pilgrim journey. Hear our prayers now. Separate us in thy fear with the blessing of our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.